Man, great to see you guys on this holiday weekend. So glad that you're here. Grace Kids, where are you? Let's tell our Grace Kids we love them. Of course, this is the last hoorah weekend before we have the long stretch marching toward Thanksgiving. So a lot of our folks are traveling and out, and that's a wonderful thing. But we're glad you're here. Thank you for coming. So glad to see you. Well, I don't know about you. You may not have been raised in church, and if not, this might not apply to you. But even those that weren't raised in church know some Bible stuff. You know some stories. Most of you sort of know, Adam and Eve. You've heard that before. Most people have seen John 3:16. You know, on some guy's chest who shouldn't have his shirt off in public, right? You know, and he says, John 3:16. Oh, put your shirt on. You know, you shouldn't be doing that. But we know that. But one of the most famous stories, and I think probably the most popular stories in all the Bible, is the story of David and Goliath. You guys know the story of David and Goliath? We're going to talk about it today. And what's interesting is you can read a story, study a story, and go through it time and time and time and time again. And yet, then you come across somebody who does some research and study in different areas, and it challenges you. It pushes you a little. It causes you to change maybe how you view the story, you know, from the beginning to the end. So we're going to be in 1 Samuel 17, but I'm going to talk you through this, and we're going to talk about the story of David and Goliath. If you never heard it, you're going to get to hear it today, and it's a phenomenal story. So Israel has three sort of major geographical divisions. You have the mountain range, which is sort of on one side. Then you have the coastal plain area on the other. And then in the middle, you have a valley area, okay? It's called the Shephelah. The Shephelah is a series of valleys, and I've never seen it. I've seen pictures of the Shephelah. Very beautiful. Matter of fact, they say it's the most beautiful part of Israel. It's where all the vineyards would be. It's where a lot of the trees is. It's green. It's a lot of vegetation. And when an invading army back during, now King Saul was the king of Israel, when an invading army wanted to invade Israel, they would often come from the sea. They would come from the sea, they would come in, and they would get into this area called the Shephelah, and these series of valleys and mountain peaks, and they would, you know, sort of camp out on one side of the Shephelah, and then, you know, Israel, King Saul would camp out on the other. And that's the situation that we have. The Philistines have come to divide Israel. They wanted to do that, so they got up into the mountains. They were going to draw a line and divide the country. And so King Saul moves out to meet him. And the scripture tells us in 1 Samuel 17 that they were on one hill, the Philistines, and the Israelites were on another hill. And they were holding the high ground. Now, in ancient warfare, forgive me, I'm going to be an army nerd for a little while, all right, this morning. But in ancient warfare, the high ground mattered a whole lot. As a matter of fact, if you could get the high ground, you wanted it because it was easily defendable and it was hard to displace you. In ancient warfare, if you were not dug in, if you didn't have hardened fortifications, it would take three men coming for every one person in a defensive posture to displace you from the mountain. So that's why they wanted up top, because they had to have triple your army to beat you. Now, if you had hardened facilities, that number could go up as high as 7 to 12 people to displace you from that elevated area as they would come up. And so everybody wanted to have the high ground. So here's the deal. You have Israel over here with King Saul, and you have the Philistines over here with Goliath, and nobody wanted to charge the other. Because to charge the other, you had to come down off of your high ground, in through the valley, and then up the high ground over here, which would expose you. And from a military standpoint, that is not a good tactic. You don't want to do that. And so so what did they do? They resorted to, sort of something out of a Monty Python sketch. They were on each side of the mountains yelling at each other. They were just yelling at each other. They were calling each other names. They were, calling their gods names, calling their people names, probably calling their mother names. I don't know what they did back then. But they were just calling names, and they were just calling names and calling names and calling names. And then finally, which wasn't unusual, particularly for the Philistines, for the sea, and they were seafaring people, really sort of Greek, Aegean, that Aegean Sea area. They had a tradition that if you didn't want to fight, you could send out your champion, and your champion could meet the other person's champion, and whoever won the ground, won the day, and nobody else dies. So this is what's going on. They're yelling, they're screaming at each other, nobody's going to charge, they're not going to give up their high ground. Good tactical decision. And so they send out Goliath And then they are calling, and Goliath is calling to the people of God, and nobody's showing up. Now, while this is taking place, there's this young shepherd boy, as you know, named David, son of Jesse, lives some miles away. Jesse got with him and said, look, I want you to go visit your brothers who are in Saul's army. He had three brothers who were on the other side being yelled at by Goliath and, you know, being cursed at. And said, I want you to go and take some food to them, take some provisions, and I want you to take some provisions to their leaders too. So David said, great, Dad, I'll do it. So he goes and he gets up there and he sees what's going on. And in 1 Samuel 17, verse 26, the scripture says this. Now, and David said to the men, what shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away this reproach from Israel? For who is that uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered and said to him the same way, well, if you do this, then there's going to be great riches bestowed on you. And that's sort of what they said prior to that. So David shows up. He sees his family getting denigrated. He sees his God getting denigrated by this Philistine guy. And he's mad. He said, okay, what's going to happen if I go down there and take care of this problem for you? Now, David probably at this time was an early teenager, maybe 13, maybe 14. He was a young man. He wasn't a very big guy. Scripture says he was small. And so they're looking at him going, there's absolutely no way that you can win. Well, we know how the story goes, right? David eventually, Saul knows that he's going to go down and fight. So Saul calls him up, says, look, if you're going to go fight, at least look like a soldier. You look like a little shepherd boy. At least look like a soldier. So he gets all of his armor and starts to put on him, and he can't walk, he can't move. And David says, look, I can't wear this. I've never proven it. Now that phrase, I've never proven it, means I've never worn it in battle. I've never tested it. So I don't know how it's going to work on me. So I can't do it. Now, I will tell you another thing going on. David knew something that Saul didn't know. We'll get to it in a minute. It's key. So he says, I'm not going to wear your stuff. I'm going to go down there. Just like I am. I got my shepherd's staff. I've got my sling. I'm heading down there. So he goes down, and he picks up five rocks. Now, the rocks in that area were, some people estimate, twice or three times as dense, more dense than rocks from other places. So they were real heavy, and they would pick up velocity real quick coming out of the sling. So he picks up these five stones. He puts it in his pocket. He goes down, and you see Goliath out there. He's got a shield bearer. I mean, from head to toe, he is modern weaponry. I mean, he's got all the latest armor. He's got the coolest sword. He's got the greatest spear. I mean, everything you could have, he's got it. He is the quintessential infantryman. Not only that, he's 9 foot tall. Now, I don't know about you, but I usually don't pick the fight with the biggest guy in the room. Anybody with me? Right? That's typically not what I do. So anyway, so he's 9 foot tall. He's got all this stuff. So here comes little David, the shepherd boy. So he shows up. He shows up, and he takes out his sling. And you know the story. He puts a rock in his sling, slings the sling, flings the rock, hits Goliath between the eyes. Goliath drops. Bam, he goes over, pulls out Goliath's sword, whacks his head off. Sorry about that. But he whacks his head off, right? I mean, sort of gross in church. But anyway, chops the guy's head off, lifts it up, and what does the Philistine army do? They run away. They just run away, and it's over. And we're taught traditionally that David is the classic underdog. That's what we're taught. Traditionally, we're taught this is the, I mean, it's in our vernacular. We talk about David and Goliath situations. It's normal that we think of it as, here's this kid, underdog, man, this is a great story. Well, I want to challenge you with something different today. I want you to think about David and Goliath from a different perspective. First of all, I want us to look at David. David, the little shepherd boy who went down. Here's something about his lineage that I discovered that I didn't know. I mean, all these years I didn't know. One of David's earliest relatives was with Moses. Sort of figured that, right? They sort of had that much figured. But he was with Moses. And Jewish tradition says that it was his relative that after the Red Sea parted was the first one to jump in the middle of the Red Sea and walk across it. He trusted God that the waters had parted and they wouldn't crash in on him and drown him. And he jumped in there and took off. Now, some of you are saying, well, that's no big deal. You wouldn't have done it. And you're sitting there going, no, that's no big deal. I mean, really, if you saw waters part, I mean, think about it. This wasn't normal. This wasn't everyday stuff. If you saw waters part, would you just automatically be the first one to jump in? I mean, would you really? Well, David's relative was. Now, Because of that, understand what happened in his family. Because his ancient relative jumped in the water when nobody else would, jumped out on dry land like nobody else did. This atmosphere of courage and trust became normal within David's lineage. It became part of their narrative as a family. We're family that's courageous. We're a family that trusts God. When nobody else would step out on dry land, when God parted the waters, our relative jumped in there and ran across because he trusted God. I mean, he came from a family that was built to take risk. He came from a family that was designed to build courage into his children. Now, he had three brothers who probably didn't get the lesson because they were up on the hill hiding when, you know, Goliath was down there screaming. But David, the young shepherd boy, got it. He understood what it meant to come from a family and have courage and have trust in the Lord when nobody else does. Now, the second thing David knew is that sling was a powerful weapon. If you go back and study ancient warfare, you're going to find there's three types of soldiers in ancient armies. The first is infantry. That's what Goliath was. You know, armor, head to toe, big spear, sword. He was an infantryman. The second type is cavalry. Now, the cavalry would either be on horses or chariots and or both. That was the cavalry. But the third type, which, forgive me for being nerdy, but I was an artillery officer, right, was artillery, right? That was the third type. And they were called slingers, not swingers. Okay, y'all know the commercial, right? Slinging, not even the TV thing, right? It was slingers. They were slingers. And why they call them slingers is because they slung rocks. And they had this, their sling, right, was two leather strips with a pouch down at the bottom. And it was a powerful weapon. Listen to this, some interesting statistics. A skilled slinger could get his rock moving 7 revolutions a second. That's fast. 7 revolutions a second. Next, the rocks at that area were very dense, so they were going to go very fast. Third, a skilled slinger, if you study this, you'll learn, could kill someone or maim someone from 200 yards away. That's pretty doggone good with a sling. And David had no intentions of being 200 yards away. He was going to be way closer than that. So, and then finally, the hitting power. Somebody did sort of a ballistic analysis. The hitting power of that rock from that area going that fast had the knockdown power of a 45. That's, so when David saw the Philistine out there all dressed in his armor and he had his sling, understand something. He knew God had prepared him, God had shaped him, God had trained him to go down there and take a rock and whack the guy between the eyes and kill him. There was no doubt he was going to hit his mark. He never questioned it. He wasn't going to go up there and fight him hand to hand. That would have been nuts. He was going to stand back, put his rock in there, get it going, and bam, get him right between the eyes. David was prepared for this battle. David was equipped for this battle. Can I tell you something? So are you. Whatever battle, whatever struggle, whatever life situation you're in, you are prepared for it. God has put you together for it. God has equipped you for it. God has been training you all of your days for where you are right now. For such a time as this, you are made and designed and equipped. You've been in training, didn't even know it. You've been in training, and whatever you're facing today, you get to win because God put you together to win. David, the shepherd boy, knew some things others didn't. You know what? You know some things that others don't, and God's going to use that for his glory and for his greatness. Now let's look at Goliath for just a minute. Now, Goliath is an interesting study. In verses 41 through 44, let me just share with you a few things that he says. Now, the Philistine moved forward and came near to David with his shield bearer. They're down on the field in front of him. And when the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him, and for he was but a youth. He was ruddy and handsome in appearance. And the Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that you should come with me with sticks?" Okay, remember that, sticks, plural, not stick. It's important. Okay? The Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and to the beasts of the field. Back in, I think it was the late 60s, there was a group of doctors that looked at Goliath and wanted to come up with some explanation on how a guy could be over 9 feet tall. Because he was somewhere between 9 and 12 feet, depending on who you read and how they reckon the measuring stick. But he was somewhere between 9 and 12 feet. Well, they came up with a diagnosis that they thought he had acromegaly. Now, acromegaly is a disease that causes people to grow at a rapid rate and to grow really high, really tall. Andre the Giant. You guys remember Andre the Giant, the wrestler? Okay, he had acromegaly. Some people think Lincoln may have had acromegaly because he was pushing 7 foot. So they sort of think that maybe Goliath had acromegaly. And there's a couple things in the text that might indicate that. One, if you have acromegaly, as the disease progresses, your eyesight goes. Do you notice he said, you come to me, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? David would have only had one stick. He would have had one staff. He would have had a sling. So it's possible, just throwing it out here, it's possible that Goliath had acromegaly in his vision. He was seeing double. Now, the second thing that's interesting, he says to David, come to me. Come over here to me, and I will feed you to the birds of the air. Come over here so I can get a hold of you, and I can fight you, and I can take care of you, and I'm going to feed you to the birds of the air. Why didn't he go to David? Some people have supposed that maybe in advanced stages of acromegaly, he had maybe some arthritis, some things going on with his bones and joints, and they couldn't move very well. And so he wasn't able to move around on the battlefield that maybe he could have at a younger age. And so he was telling David to come over and fight him like that. Now, we all know David had a sling. He wasn't going sword for sword with a 9-foot guy. Are you with me? He is going to get back a few yards and whack the guy in the head with a rock. I mean, that's what he knew. That's what he did. But it's interesting, when you look at Goliath, his greatest strength possibly was his greatest weakness. So what do we know about Goliath? You have giants in your life. You have Goliaths. You have situations and circumstances that seem to be impenetrable. You can't overcome them. They're never going to get better. You have people in your life that are trapped in addictions and struggles, and they're never going to get out. What we learn from this story, I think, today is this. Your giants might not be as strong as you think they are. All of the people of God looked at Goliath saying he can't be beat, except for one little shepherd boy that God had prepared and put a sling in his back pocket, and he knew he could handle it. When you leave here today in just a few minutes, you're going to face obstacles this week. We all do. Remember this. Pray. Seek the Lord. Honor his word. And you know what? You may find a sling in your back pocket, and you'll win the day. Amen? Amen. Amen. Pray with me if you will.